Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the top of the page on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're going through the seven detergents. So the Gemara is going to today's shir is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Zecher Nishmas Marcel Weber, Mordechai Ben Yoshua Menachem Mendel of Shalom, who's Nifter and Shabbos Tes Kislev, Minashama, should have an Aliyah, and we thank Henry very much for the sponsorship, and by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank Dr. Landerer for the continued sponsorship of the daf. So we are holding again at the two dots on the very top of daf, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are going to be discussing the seven detergents that determine whether a stain is assumed to be blood or whether it's just assumed to be a stain that is not going to be metame, that is not going to be blood. And this is nogea as far as taharos is concerned, meaning even if it's not, maybe not always nogea as far as nida, as far as the isha's status is concerned, because sometimes we assume that that if the stain didn't get removed, it wasn't because it was not blood. Maybe it was blood, but it's no longer blood once you go through the Zayin Sadmanim. But we're going to go through what these Zayin Sadmanim are and the Indian of being Mavir Shalom Kisidron, of putting them in the wrong order. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to switch topics, and we're going to start discussing Vestos, the idea that based on either past history or based on other events, we can predict when a woman is going to get her period. So the Mishnah on the bottom is going to discuss Vestos Haguf. Vestos Haguf means that something physical happens to her that is normally a predictor of her becoming a Nida at that moment that that something happens. She goes into some sort of sneezing fit or something like that. She has some sort of pain that she has at the moment that she normally gets her period. So we're going to discuss those details of Vestos Haguf. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the first Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to continue to discuss Vestos Haguf, and going to talk about the timing during that Vestos that she normally sees dam, and what sort of assumptions she has to make based on when she normally sees dam within the particular Vestos. And then the Mishnah at the very end of the daf is going to talk about being Kovea Vestos and being Oker Vestos, and being choshesh for a vessus before it's ever been kavua, meaning what gives someone a vessus? How many times does something have to happen? What if someone had a vessus and then it disappears? How long does it have to disappear for us to say, you know, we're not worried about that anymore? It's no longer apparently the way her body works. So those are the topics of vessus that we're going to begin to cover Be'ezus Hashem today. So let's begin. Ezeu rok tafel. So we said that one of the detergents that we put on the blood in order to test it is raw saliva. So with the Mishnah said, what is raw saliva? If a person hasn't eaten anything that day yet. So the Gemara explains, how long does it have to be that he hasn't eaten anything for it to be considered raw saliva? So Tana, kol shalotam klum mi be'erev, that he hasn't eaten anything from the previous evening, it's considered rok tafel. So Rav Papa kameid Rava lemeimar, command the amar lota midi borta. So Rav Papa thought that maybe you should say, maybe you should explain this brisa, that it means that the person didn't eat anything the entire previous night. So Amalei Rava responded to Rav Papa, mi katani ba'erev. Does it say that the person didn't eat anything ba'erev? No, mi ba'erev katani. It says that a person hasn't eaten anything mi ba'erev, and it means that since it has been evening, the previous evening he hasn't eaten anything, but during the previous evening he ate his dinner. It's just that since dinner time he hasn't eaten anything. And that excludes someone who ate before daybreak, after he woke up from sleep. Meaning, if a person, let's say this time of year, wakes up at 5 in the morning, so it's still nighttime. By every halachic measure, it's still nighttime. So what if he eats something then? So then, 2 hours later, or when it's, let's say, Vadayom, 2 hours and 12 minutes, whatever time it is. So you wait, 2 hours and 16 minutes later, when it's Vadayom. So now is it going to be Rok Tafel? Because is, so that's what we're trying to say, that that's not called Rok Tafel, that as long as he ate, even though he ate his dinner the previous night, he could still have Rok Tafel when he wakes up from sleep, but if he wakes up from sleep and eats something, then it's not going to be Rok Tafel. So the Gemara explains how much a person has to sleep in order for the Rok to be Rok Tafel. Amar Rav Bar B'chan Amar Rav Yochanan, Eilu Rok Tafel, Kol Sha'avar Alav Chatzos Laila Uvashena, that a person has to have slept half of the previous night. That's the way the Rishonim said. That means half of the previous night. That's how the Rashi seems to explain it. Not just that he happens to have been sleeping at midnight, because that wouldn't really, there's no magic that happens at midnight, that all of a sudden at midnight his saliva turns rancid. So it means that he slept half of the night. So the Maimer of the Rishonim tell you milsa, he means to say that this is totally when how much a person sleeps, that's when his saliva becomes so putrid, so strong. But doesn't the Mishnah tell us, Yashin Kala Yo means a Rok Tafel? A person could sleep all day long and his saliva is not called Rok Tafel. Neir Kala Laila, Harez a Rok Tafel. But if he's up all night without sleeping at all, it is considered Rok Tafel. So how can you say that it depends on sleeping half of the night? Says the Gemara, no, you do need to sleep. Hasam the Misnamnim, that over there, when it says Neir Kala Laila, it means that the person was dozing throughout the night. He wasn't literally awake all night, and that's why the Rok is Rok Tafel. So Hechidami, Misnamnim, what does it mean to be Misnamnim? Amar Ravashi, Nim Vlo Nim, he's sleeping but not really sleeping. Tir Vlo Tir, he's awake but he's not really awake, meaning he's neither totally awake nor is he totally sleeping. Tosos explains that Nim Vlo Nim means at the beginning of the night. Tir Vlo Tir is at the end, when he's finishing up his quasi-sleep. So the Aruch HaNar explains that Tosfos was bothered by the double expression of the Gemara. Once you say he's nim v'lo nim, by definition, he's tir v'lo tir. Meaning if you're going to say that a fellow is sleeping but not totally sleeping, it means if he's half asleep, he's obviously also half awake. So that's why Tosfos understands that it must be referring to two different parts of the night. Nim v'lo nim is at the earlier part of the night, and tir v'lo tir is when he's waking up. So it's like he's falling asleep but never quite made it there. He's waking up and never at that moment, he hadn't yet made it there either. So the Karalei Va'ani, and the way to measure when a person is at this stage, is if you call his name, he'll respond, but lo yadala durisvara. He's not going to make any sense if you ask him a complicated question, something that requires thought. The Chimit Karalei Mitkar, but if you remind him that he already knew this answer, so then he's going to remember and he'll be able to explain. So that's how we define a person who's half asleep. So Tana, Hishkin Vishana Pirko, if a person wakes up early in the morning and learns Einza Rok Tafel, so then it's not considered Rok Tafel because by speaking it weakens the koach of the saliva. Va'ad kama, how much does he have to speak in order to weaken the koach of the saliva? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shela, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol sheyatza rov diburo shel shalosh sha'os. If the majority of what he would normally speak in 3 hours, once he speaks that much, the majority of what he would normally speak in 3 hours, that's already considered enough dibur to nullify the Rok Tafel. Then we discussed Megrisin. The Mishnah said that Megrisin is one of the bean water, is one of the detergents. So the Isas Grisin Shalpul, and the Mishnah said Megrisin means that what happens when you chew on this porridge of beans. So Lema Misayele will bring a raya that it needs to be chewed on L'Resh Lakish. That Mishnah is a raya to Resh Lakish. Am Resh Lakish, Rok Tafel Tzorek Shieh Im Kol Echad V'Echad. That when we list all of these seven detergents, Rok Tafel is not one of the seven. It's that too, but it's an ingredient that needs to go together with each of the others in order for the others to work. So it's mukach this way from the Mishnah, because why not just say the crushed bean porridge? Why do you have to say that it was chewed, that it was not chewed? Because when you chew it, it gets mixed with saliva. So it's the saliva that's mixing with it that's the key over here. Says Marna, Dilma, Havlu de Puma Mali. Maybe the Isas Grisim is not because of the saliva, it's because the heat of the mouth helps to strengthen the power of this Megrisim. Good, so now the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda requires something else about the Megrisim that the Mishnah did not mention. Masnisin delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Megrisin roteach. The Megrisin need to be boiling. Va'over she'itin l'tocho melech. And before you put salt in it, because the melech, if you put salt in it, it's going to weaken the koach of the Grisin. Our Mishnah never had such a requirement to not put salt and to make sure that it's boiled. So my mashmadai over lishan daktumehu. Wait a second, such a strange expression. He says that it has to be over before, over of putting salt in it. So I translated the word the way the Gemara is about to explain it. But over means before putting salt in it. Where do we find that the word over ever means a lashon of hakdama, a lashon of doing something before something something else? So Amar Avnachum Bar Yisrael to Amar Kras, as the pasuk says, when they came to tell David about the death of Avshalom, Vayaratz Achimaatz Derech Hakikar Vayavaratz Hakushi. Achimaatz ran Derech Hakikar because it was a shortcut from the way that the Kushi ran, in order that it shouldn't be the Kushi that was telling David about the death of his son. Let it be a familiar face that delivers the news. Achimaatz wanted to run faster in order to get to David first, but it says Vayav. So you see that the word over means to win the race, to get there first. It means before. Abaye Amar Mehacha. Abaye says we have a different pasuk. And when Yaakov Avinu meets Esav, when he goes back, when he comes back from Laban's house, pasuk says Vuhu Avar Lifneim. It says Vayosim Es Hashvachos Es Yaldein Rishona, that the Shvachos and their children were first, and then Leah Vilada Achronim, and then Leah and her Yiladim were Achronim Vuhu Avar Lifneim, and he went in front of his wives and children. So there also means he went before them. Or a third possibility, mehacha, from the following passage, vayavar malkul nefneim vashem barosham. So vayavar is the lashon of going first, that also over there. So you see three different psukim that all indicate that the word over is lashon vakdumi. This comes up in a number of places in Shas, but normally not in the context that we have it over here. Over here we're just talking about it, putting in ingredients, so one ingredient before the other. Where this comes up is a couple of places in Shas, I think in Pesachim and in Sukkah, where the Gemara talks about Kol Mitzvos Kulan, Mevarchen Aleihen over La'asiyasan. So that over there, the Gemara says, okay, what does that mean? That you're supposed to say a bracha over La'asiyasan of the mitzvah. When is that in relation to the mitzvah? So they say, oh, it means right, it means before, but immediately before doing the mitzvah, which is a little bit interesting, because over here, L'chora doesn't mean immediately before, it just means before. It doesn't matter whether you're going to put salt in 5 minutes from now or in 10 minutes from now, you just have to use the detergent before you put the salt in. Whereas over there, it means before, meaning we're even medayik, and it's over, and not over the over. That you have to you have to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah, but not too much before you do the mitzvah. That's what Tosfos Masechet Sukkah says. That's why when you take lulav and esrog, we go through this whole shtick of flipping the esrog in order to do over last yasim. Why don't we do simpler? Put it on the, leave it on the table, and then say the bracha, and then pick it up. No, it's too much before. It's too much of a delay to find it and pick it up. It already has to be mamish atat. It has to be right before. So obviously in this context that wouldn't make any sense, but that's where it normally comes up in Shas. Okay, Meraglaim Shechmitu, another one of the detergents is urine that's already turned, it's already had a lot of time out. It's already been machnit. So Tana Kamachimutan, how long is that? Shloshe Yamin, it takes 3 days. Amar Yochan, Kol Shiru Chacham Biksamim, Sarach Shir L'Shirun. All the Shirun that Chacham give for Ksamim, we need another Shir to be Mevar what that Shir is. Because the Yeled or the Zaken, the Ish or the Isha. I mean, is that nearly enough detail over here? Are we talking about the urine of a younger person or an older person, which maybe is a stronger urine? Are we talking about an Ish or an Isha? And Mechusim or Megulim? And when it's sitting there for 3 days, is it covered up or is it uncovered? Bimos HaChama or Bimos HaShamim? Is it summertime or is it wintertime? So a lot of times that we're told certain things, that these are scientific tests. The scientific tests need everything to be very accurate. So just because we have a Masorah of a basic description of what it is, it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to replicate it. That's why Shulchan Aruch, we do not try to replicate this test. We assume, the Rishon already write, based on this, we assume that we don't know how to replicate this test. We just don't have the details in order to be able to, do it. That's what the Chronon points out in the Tchela Sugya as well, that, that the Gemara has, it says that you mix in some, it says how to dye the Tchela and how to do it. But, how do we lose the know-how? The Gemara says how to do it. Because the Gemara says, but we don't know it, says you mix in some money. Which some money? It doesn't say how, doesn't say what you're supposed to do exactly. So if you don't know the details, obviously, you're not going to be able to replicate it. Vitzorot l'chas case, and a person has to, shalosh pamim, a person has to rub the beged 3 times, we said, with each of the detergents. So by Rav Yirmi, amtuye v'asuye chad, ozim amtuye v'asuye tarti. So my, what's the din teku? Meaning, when we say rub it 3 times, does it mean 1, 2, 3, or does it mean 1, 2, 3, right? Meaning if you go back and forth, is that one rub, or is back one rub, forth another rub? So the teku, the Gemara doesn't know. Havir and Shaloka Sidron. Let's say you put them not in the right order, so then the Mishnah says, loss of loklum. If you don't do the detergents in the right order, then it's not going to be an effective test. The Tan Rabbanan. Hikdim Shniyim L'Rishonim. If a person put the four last ones before he put the first 3 ones, so Tani Chada Shniyim Alulo Rishonim Lo Alulo. So one Brisa tells us that the 4 that he put in, which are the Simanim that he put in last, which are the first 3 on the list, but he put them in last, will count, and he doesn't have to do those again, but Rishonim Lo Alulo, the last 4 that he put in first will not count. So, all he has to do now is finish off the rest of the list. So if he did 4 through 7 and then 1 through 3, now all he needs to do is 4 through 7, and then it will have been done kisidrum. The time he idach rishonim alulo shneim lo alulo, and the other brisa teaches us that the first ones that he put on first will count, but the second ones do not count. So he was already mavir the achronim on the list, and therefore there's nothing he could do. There's no way that he's ever going to be able to do it in order. Now he lost out on the test by putting the later ones on first. Since they're alulo, they already they counted. So there's no way that you're ever going to be able to do it in order now, because you've already gone out of order. I'm going to buy Edi v'Edi, both the first price and the second price. Shniim alulo v'lo rishonim. They both mean, they both hold that the ones that he put on at the end, meaning the first ones on the list, count, and not the ones that he put on first, which are the later ones on the list. Umay rishonim, rishonim l'kisidron. Now, shniim l'havarasan. Meaning both prices are saying the same thing. They're just calling different things rishonim and shniim. That when the second price says rishonim, our alulo means the rishonim l'gavi their seder, meaning those that he should have put on first. And when it says shniim, and they are the shniim l'havarasan. They are the ones that he actually put on second. So the prices aren't necessarily saying the opposite of each other. Okay, new Mishnah now and a brand new topic. So now we're going to talk about Vesas HaGuf. Vesas HaGuf is something that happens in a woman's body that happens right before her Dam Nidus comes. So she yawns and right away she sees Dam. So some women have such a thing that when Dam is the Omei Batseis, when it's about to come out, they feel something and we're going to mention in the Mishnah, and then the Dam is Yotze. So Kol Isha Sheyesh Lo Vesas, any woman that is a regular Vesas Kavua that sees Dam and at a predictable time that something is going to happen and she knows at that time she's going to see Dam, Daya Shaita. So whenever that happens, we can assume that she's only tame from that time and on. We're not choshesh that maybe this dam was here earlier, because if every time she sees dam, she has a sneezing fit. Every time she sees dam, so she had a sneezing fit at 10 a.m., and then she looked at 10:05, and she saw that there's dam there, she doesn't have to assume, oh, no, maybe this dam has been here since 9. No, she knows. That's what brings about her dam, so she's only dayashaita. She's only tame mikan laba. And the following, the Yeshivish way of saying it is Vestos, but it's really Vesasos. And we'll go back and forth because I can't decide what I am. So, the following are the things that she feels, that if one of them comes before the other, And when one of them comes before Christine Dan, that is Kovea Veses, so Mifahekes, if she yawns is a Veses, Uma Ateshes, if she sneezes, it doesn't mean she stam sneezes, meaning when we say Ma Ateshes, it means that she has a sneezing fit, right? So that has to last for it has to be something highly unusual. Vichoshes Pi Kresa, she has lower abdomen pain, Ubishfule Me Eha, or she feels something in the by the uterus, v'shofa'as, or if she sees dam in a makar, and it's meaning she's the Gemara is going to have to explain what in the world that is, because that's the definition of nida, that she's shofa'as dam, but somehow that's a veses, ukmin smarmoros ochazin osa, and she has some sort of fever that she feels, and v'chein kayotziben, and also other types of things that are similar to the ones we just mentioned, v'chol shekavlosh. And if any of these things happens three times, now she is she has a vessel, and we assume that that if that ever happens again, she can assume herself to be Tamei. The Ramban and the Rashba both assume that a Vesas HaGuf has nothing to do with what day it happens on, or what frequency it happens, what interval it's been since the last time she saw Dam. It's just that if she's Piyaka Sholosh Pa'amim and she sees Dam, even though those 3 days are not the same day of the month, meaning it happened on the first day of the month, the 17th day of the month, and the 8th day of the next month, so it has nothing to do with particular days or particular intervals between days, it's still Koveya Veses Lepihuk, because every time she's Mifayik, she sees Dam. But the Rashba adds that sometimes a woman is Koveya Isha, a woman's Koveya Veses Hanguf Murkavliyam. There's another type of Veses that's similar, that's a combination Veses, that it's a combination of an event that happens with her body and the day. So she's Mifayik and she sees three times on the same day of the month, or she's Mifayik and she sees three times every 26 days or something like that. So if that happens, if she's Mifayik on another day, then she doesn't have to be Choshesh Shematira, and she only has to be Choshesh for the Piyuk that happens on that day of the month or on that Haflada. The Rambam sheet, however, in the 8th part of the Surah Biyah, the way, at least the way the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam, is that Ves HaGuf is never alone. Ves HaGuf, by definition, is always Betziruf with another Vesas. A woman that doesn't have a set time, the Re'iyasa, and every time before her Re'iyah, she's Mefaheket, is a woman that's Ein LaVesas, according to the Rambam. She doesn't have a Ves at all. That's not a Vesas that the Mishnah is talking about. So that's the fundamental Machlokes Rishonim about Ves HaGuf. Simple reading of the Mishnah Lekor is more like the Ramban and the Rashba, that these are events that happen, that's the event alone that creates the Vesas. Okay, so if she has a Vesas three times, so if it happens three times, she now has been Koveya Vesas. So Tanina Chodizim Nekoli Shvei Shavetz Daya Shaita. Now the very first line of our Mishnah says Koli Shvei Shavetz Daya Shaita. Problem is, we already had a Mishnah like this way, way earlier in the Masechta. We're bookending the Masechta over here as we're coming to the end, and so we're just repeating what we said in that base. It was the Mishnah that said Koli Shvei Shavetz Daya Shaita. Now whenever a woman has a Vesas, she's only Tamei Mikan Alaba. Why would we repeat it over here? So it says, no, Hasan, Vivisasos Diyomi. Over there we're talking about the Vestos of days, like a Vesa Flaga that she sees down every X number of days. So that's where we say that Daya Shaita when it happens on that day. Hacha v'sasos tegufa. Over here we're talking about a Veses Haguf, that she feels something happened in her body. Kizikatani, Eloi v'sasos, Chaisim v'fahekas, Nateshus, Chaisim v'chreisim, v'shvili me'ah, v'shofas. Our Mishnah, or the, all of the examples given in our Mishnah are very clearly Veses Haguf examples. So that one of the Veses Haguf that might happen before her Re'iyah, we said, is Shofas, that blood flows, which sounds like she sees Dam min ha-makar. So the Gemara has to figure out, what in the world does that mean? That is the definition. Shofas, ha-shofa v'yazla. That is Nida, if she's Shofas. So that's not a vetes, that's not a, some other event happening in her body that's a predictor of Nida. So that itself is a Re'iyah Dam Nida. So that wouldn't be a Veses Haguf. So Amar Ula, Bered Rav Ilai, Willa Bered Rav Ilai explains, Bishofas Dam Tame Mitoch, dam tahor. It doesn't mean that she's shofar as dam tameh. It means that every time she's roa, she first sees dam tahor. And then after the dam tahor, dam tameh shows up as well. So therefore, when she sees dam tahor, so that's when she knows that's her vesta guf. What does dam tahor mean? It means that which is not dam. She has some sort of other secretion that something that's white or yarok. Dam Yarok, which we assume is not Tameh, comes out of her body, and it's always followed by Dam Tameh. It's always followed by being Dam Tameh comes right after it. So that's what we assume, that anytime she sees Dam Lavan or Dam Yarok, we assume that Dam Tameh is coming on its heels. It's not uncommon for a woman before she gets to 30 to have a little bit of brown staining, and according to many poskim, brown is not the Tameh in Isha. So it's a similar type of thing, that if a woman knows that every time before she gets her period, she sees that there's brown that's coming, so then you'd be cautious. You have to, she would anyway, probably, because she knows her own body, but she would act cautiously. The couple would be cautious, knowing that this is very likely about to lead to getting her period. Kmitz marmoros, and then we said that kmitz marmoros is a vesa. So v'chein keyotva, and then we said v'chein and keyotva. Them. And all of these things, not only a fever and not only a sneezing fit and not only a yawning fit, such similar type of things. So v'chein kayotzeben l'suyimai. What are we adding when we say v'chein kayotzeben that hasn't already been covered? Amar Rabba bar Ula l'suyi isha sharosha kaved aleha ve'vra kaved aleha. If she doesn't feel right, she feels headache, she feels exhaustion, so it doesn't mean that she has to feel both, one or the other, meaning some physical symptom that she doesn't feel right. V'rosesas, or she has shivers, the gosa, or she's yawning a lot. All of these are vesa guf. Amru funu barchia amru shmuel hare amru liyamim shnayim v'sasos achas l'mashlomanu chachamim shlosha. So the Chacham tell us that when it comes to Vesas HaYamin, a Vesta Chodesh, or a Vesta Flaga, so it's two times is enough already for it to be Koveya Vesas. Meaning this is assuming, this is a Shas Machodesh, this is Machodesh Tzad Shas, how many times does it take to establish a Chazaka? Is two times enough for a Chazaka, or do you need three times for a Chazaka? So we're assuming like the Shita of Rebbe, that a Chazaka is established with two times. And but according to Rishon Gamliel, that a Chazaka is established with three times in a Chinami, a Vesas would also require three times to establish a Vesas. But we're assuming like Rebbe at this point. So the Yamim Shaim, she wants to establish a Vesas the Yamim, that she sees down, I don't know, on the 28th day of every Hebrew month. If it happens, Kislev and Teves, so then that's it. That's a Vesas the Yamim. With the Sasos Achas, but for a Vesas Haguf, like the kinds that are mentioned in our Mishnah, only a single Kaviyah is necessary. Unlike the Tanakh of our Mishnah, which said explicitly that it has to happen three times. And the mashalomanu chacham, for the vesas that you're not going to find in any Mishnah, shlosha, that you need three times in order to be koveya. The mashalomanu shalomanu chacham masuyimai. What is this unmentionable vesas that we're not allowed to have in a Mishnah and that we're referring to by these he who must not be knit, you know, these cryptic terminology. Some Rav Yosef, La'asuyei Rosha Kavir Ala Ve'vrak Ve'din Ala Rotas V'gosa. All the examples that we just gave, that she has a headache, or that she's yawning a lot, or that she has shivers. Some Levi, Mike Mashmul and Nasmithini. The Perisha, Rabba Barula. What are the Chum being Mechadesh when they say that takes three times? Our Mishnah already said that, because Rabba Barula explained that when the Mishnah says, V'chein Kayose Behen, so it meant all of these things. So, and the Mishnah said it takes three times. So what's the Chiddush by saying, L'masha L'manu Chachamim Shlosha? Ella Amar Abayi, no, that's not what it means. Nasuye Achlo Shlum V'rasa, Achlo B'tzalim V'rasa, Kista Pilpulim V'rasa. This has to do with things that she eats. That if every time she eats garlic, or she eats onions, or she eats a Davar Charif, something like that, and by doing that three times, every time that happens for three consecutive times, she sees Dam, that's the L'masha L'manu. The next time she has onions, next time she has garlic, so that's an actual vessel that she's going to see Dam. So now other Tanaim and Amoraim, as far as how many times it takes to be Koveya Veses, Amar Rav Yosef lo Shmueli HaShmaita. I never heard the Memra of Shmuel, that the Chum say that a Veses HaYamim can be with even just two times, and a Veses HaGuf could be with even one time. So Amar Le Abayis, Abayis said to Rav Yosef, what do you mean you never heard it? Adam Ritzanei Alan, you're the one that taught the Talmidim this Memra. Abaye was the Talmud of Rav Yosef, and throughout Shas we find that Abaye is always reminding Rav Yosef what he had previously taught the Talmidim, because Rav Yosef, toward the end of his life, had forgotten much of his learning. So Abaye was there to help him out, to remind him. So he said, you did teach it, va'aha amrisanei alan, and I'll even tell you what context you taught it in. I mean, there's always that Talmud that's a sponge that just remembers everything, and will remember all the details. So he says that sometimes the Talmud will ask me a question, I'll point them to one of my other Talmud and say, he remembers everything. I don't remember what I said. He remembers what I said. So at the time that I said it, I knew it, but he still knows it. So va'amrisanei alan. So, and he said in the following context, if a woman has she's in the habit, she sees on Yom Chamisha Asar, a flagos of 15 days, which is an unusual example that the Gemara gives. The Gemara talks about flagos, and talks about every 15 days. So some of the Rishonim said that a flagos of 15 days means 15 days since last time she became Tahara. Because otherwise, like, why would we give that example? What woman has a flaga of 15 days? Okay, but anyway, that's the example it gives. She sees with a flaga of 15 days, Vishin Saliyam Eshim, and then it changes 1 month and she sees on day 20, Zev Zeh Asurin. So since she already had a previous Vesas Kavua of 15 days, and one time it happened on day 20, so she still has to be Choshesh for day 15, but day 20 is also going to be also B'Tashmish. But Shalosh Pamim Liyom Asurin, if it changed 20, three times in a row to day 20, Hutar Yom Chamisha Asur, then the Vesas of Chamisha Asur goes away, V'Kavala Yom Asurin, and now she has a Ves Kavua for day 20. She'ein Isha Kavua, that a kviyas vesis takes three times of it happening. And that's where you jumped in, Rav Yosef. You told the Talmidim that I'm Rav Yom Shmuel, Zo Divrei Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe, that that's the sheet of Rav Gamliel, Sha'ar Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, who is saying in the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who in general holds that you need three times in order to establish a chazaka. Just like the original context is the Sugi Nivamos of a woman who two husbands died, whether she's a katlanis yet, whether she's allowed to marry a third husband. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that she's only a katlanis if three husbands die. So we have to be machmir in that machlokas, that even with two times, because something in the fashion, we're going to be a little more machmir when it comes to pikuach nefesh, but that was the context. So he said that three times, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it takes three times to establish chazaka. That if she saw even once, she doesn't need to see a second time, nor a third time, in order to be Koveya Aveses. Already the first time that she saw, she's Koveya Aveses. And we, the Talmidim, then ask you, Rav Yosef, Lishnos Amritlan, Lishalish Mibai, once you say that she doesn't need to be Mishana, she doesn't need to, it happened twice, so to happen the third time, you need to tell me, meaning you need to tell me that she doesn't need to be Mishalish. If you say that she doesn't need to see a second time, so of course she doesn't need to see a third time. Why does the Chamin have to say below lishalish va'amritlan, and then you explain to us lishnos to v'sasos lishalish biyamin, that lishnos to see twice is means to for vesagluf, that for vesagluf even a single time is enough to be koveya. Lishalish is for vesayamin, meaning for x number of days or the number the day of the month where even two times is going to be enough to be koveya ves. You don't need to be mishalish. So we heard this Memra of Shmuel from you, and not only did we hear the Memra of Shmuel, you explained it very clearly to us that Chamal, that Vesayam is Nikva with two times, and Vesaguf is Nikva with only one time. Now the Gemara explains Shita Shmuel. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why does Shmuel have to bring the Shita of Rav Shmuel Gamliel that Vesas is Nikva B'Shalosh Pamim in the name of Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe? The name of Zudiv Rav Shmuel Gamliel, why doesn't he just quote it straight from Rav Shmuel Gamliel? Everyone knows that that's Rav Shmuel Gamliel's Shita throughout Shas, that three times is Chazaka. So why did he have to tell us this is the name of Rabbi Gamliel Barevi in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So how come Shmuel Shmuel, Rabbi Gamliel Barevi from Shimon Gamliel Sfirle? No, what Shmuel wants to tell us is that the Rabbi Gamliel Barevi holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the Chazaka takes three times. So he wants to show that that became accepted in later generations as the norm that the Chazaka takes three times. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah, again, continuing to discuss Vesas HaGuf. So we already just described the basics of Vesas HaGuf, that she has one of these events happen in her body every time she sees dam. So then every time she has a sneezing fit or whatever the event is, she's going to assume that she's about to bleed. The all of those events though that we described, as we mentioned, are not just like for a moment that every time she yawns, because that's normal. It means that it's something that goes on for some time, for an hour, for 2 hours. She can't stop sneezing, she can't stop yawning, something like that. So since it takes some time, we then have to figure out, so when's the Vesas? Is it when her sneezing fit begins, or is it at the end of her sneezing fit that we assume that she sees dam? So if a woman normally starts to see dam at the beginning of the Vesas, she always sees right away when she starts to sneeze. So even if she didn't see at the beginning of her sneezing fit, and only some later time, even though she didn't actually find the dam until later, we can assume that any taros that she was dealing with during that hour that she was sneezing or whatever, or shaking or yawning, all of those taros are tmeos, because since that's her vesas, she normally sees at the beginning of the vesas, we have the right to assume that's what happened over here as well. Whatever she normally sees at the end of the vesasos, meaning if she's a woman that normally sees at the end of, after an hour of sneezing, then she gets her done, so then kaltar shas sabasof vesasos taros, so then she has the right to assume that she was true to form, that whatever taros she dealt with in the interim are all taros. So that's as far as Vesas HaGuf is concerned. Now we're going to go into a new topic, the more common Vesas, Vesas HaYamin. So Rav Yossi Omer, Af Yamin V'Shalos V'Sasos. Not only do physical things happen that can be predictors of when she'll get her period, but days and hours can also be V'Sasos. Vesas HaFlada, we're Choshesh for a particular times of the day during that day that she's expected to get her period. If she normally only sees dam right before Netzachama, so then that's her Vesas. That only that nighttime right before Netzachama up until the moments before Netzachama, she's Muteras, and she's Muter after Netzachama. If she always gets her period right before Netzachama, so that period of time, that very tiny period of time, right before Netzachama, that's her Vesas, that's the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Hayom Shela. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, the entire day is gonna be Mutter, but Kol Halayla is gonna be Asur, meaning it's Mechlal Hein Atashamei Allah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you don't just say that she's Asur Labayla for a few minutes before Netzachama, exactly normally when she gets her period, you say, if a few minutes before Netzachama is the din of Laila, which as far as Vesas are concerned, we always look at sunrise and sunset. We're not looking at Amuna Shachar, we're not looking at Mishe Yatir, or any of the other Zmanim. We're looking at sunrise, sunset. So right before Netzachama is Laila, as far as Vesas are concerned. So whereas the Tanakama said that it's only those 5 minutes before sunrise, Rabbi Yehuda will say no. If it always happens 5 minutes before sunrise, it means the whole night she's Asura. That's what we call the Onas HaVest. So Tana, Ketan Am Rabbi Yossi, Yamin V'Shalos V'Sasos. How do we explain what Rabbi Yossi says? Yamin V'Shalos V'Sasos. So the Brisa explains. I said, Muzo V'Yosra, Miyom Esrim, Miyom Esrim. A woman normally sees every 20 days, Umi Sheshos, the Sheshos, and on day 20 she sees in the sixth hour of the day, Higia Yom Esrim V'Lo Ra'asa. So if day 20 comes and she doesn't see any dam, Asru L'Shamesh, Kol Sheshos Rishonos. So she's not allowed to have Tashmish for the first 6 hours of the day Divra of Yehuda, because the onus haves is going to be asur for her, and since the zman of her vestas is that time of the day, so that's when she's asur. Rav Yossi matir ad sheishaos. Rav Yossi says she can be mishamish up until sheishaos, meaning the first 5 hours of the day are all mutter, because according to him, we're medactic much more than it's got to be dafka the sha'a of the ri'iyah, and therefore she's only asur when that sha'a comes. The chosheshes v'sheishaos, and in the sixth hour, that's when she's chosheshes, but only then is she chosheshes. Avru sheishaos v'lo rasa, if all 6 hours pass and she's still seen any dam, asur l'shamish kol yom kulo div Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda would say she's still going to be asur the whole rest of the day. Rav Yossi matir min l'mincha l'mayla. Rav Yossi is going to say that from the zman tefilas mincha and on, she's going to be mutter, meaning from the beginning of the seventh hour, she's going to be mutter. So again, it's just the same way of saying the same thing. That Rav Yehuda holds onus haves, that if she normally sees 6 hours into the day, that entire daytime from sunrise to sunset, that's when she has to be chosheish. Whereas Rav Yossi says, no, not onus haves, the moment, the sha'a, that one sha'a that she always sees, that's the sha'a of the vessel. That's the basis, that idea is the basis of the chumra of the arzarua, that apparently the assumption is, in this conversation, is that she's able to predict which hour. She's not only able to predict which day, she's able to predict which hour she's going to see dawn. So when we're going to be machmir for the onus haves, it means that we're being machmir around the time that she's able to predict, that we take the time that she's able to predict, and we expand around that time. So the chumra of the arzarua to observe an extra ona, that if her ona is supposed to be during the daytime, we not only observe that daytime, but the previous night as well, is works with the assumption that we cannot predict the hour. The closest we can get it to is an ona. So if we have to build around that ona, we go backwards, then we build in another ona. That's the chumra of the arzarua, this chumra of the shah. So I saw the mood that we said if a woman sees normally with Neitz HaChama, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kola Yom Kula. So it says more of Atanya, we have a bright that says the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kola Laila Shala, that she's Muteris Kola Laila, and Asura Kola Yom. So La Kasha, Hadi Regila Liros Petchila Simama, Hadi Regila Liros Petzov Leile. What does it mean that she sees around Neitz HaChama? Does it mean at the very end of the night or the very beginning of the day? And that's going to be Koveya. So Pani Chadi Rabbi Yehuda Osa Lefnei Vesta, Umatira La Acher Vesta. Rabbi Yehuda asks her prior to the Vesta and his matter afterwards. V'tanyidach, but another bright says, Osa Liacher Vesta Matira Lefnei Vesta. And he asks her after the Vesta and his matter before the Vesta. Lo Kasha, and it's not a steer between the brights. Meaning sometimes we're going to be mad to her after the moment that you expect her to see dam, if the moment you expect her to see dam is the very beginning of the day, is the very end of the night. So then as soon as the day begins, she's mutter. But the time prior to the moment she was expected to see dam, meaning the whole night, she was asura. But if she normally sees dam at the very beginning of the day, so the whole time prior she's muteres, but sunrise to sunset, she's asura. So the whole rest of the day, she's going to be asura. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rava.